and verse 9 tonight. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Do remember me in your prayers that God would help me to be the pastor and the person I need to be. I ask that you to pray for me. I know you do. I pray that you would, that I might be what I need to be. For God's sake and for our church's sake. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. The message tonight is going to be concerning justification. The Bible said here in verse 9, as we look at this for a text, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Two things to notice there. Number one is that we are now justified by His blood. And we are now justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's more to come. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, I pray You'd accept our thanks for this day, and Lord, for the blessings of just being here, and Lord, for the blessings that we've had since we've been here. And Lord, I pray that You might bless Your word tonight as it goes out. Give it power, Lord, according to Your own desires and will. I pray, Lord, that it might have bearing and force in our lives, that it might have something to do with the way we need to be. And I pray, Lord, that we might understand what You want us to be and what You want us to do. Guide, Lord, and keep in all things. May Your name be glorified. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. First of all tonight, what is justification? That's something that we believe. That we believe it because the Bible teaches it. But what is it? Justification is that instantaneous, everlasting, gracious, free, listen, judicial act of God. It is a judicial act of God whereby, on account of the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness, a repentant, believing sinner is freed from the penalty of the law. That's what justification is. We are restored to God's favor, and we are now being considered as possessing the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are justified legally right before God as if we had never sinned at all. And it's by virtue of all of this that we receive adoption as sons of the living and the true God. Now listen, justification is not the cause of salvation. Justification is the result of salvation. If justification was the cause, then we work our own way in. It's not that way at all. But justification is that judicial act of God that's based upon the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ, that we stand as if we had never, ever, ever sinned at all. It's not as if we had sinned, then we're over it. No. Judicially standing before God as absolutely, totally innocent because of the blood of Jesus Christ, having no sin, it's not that we would say, well, we're forgiven. No, it's not that way at all. Judicially, it is as if we have never, ever sinned at all. We're right before God in everything. Justification is one word, and it's only one word, that talks about how salvation affects us. There's a lot of other words that are involved. Sanctification is one. Progressive sanctification would be another part of that. Sanctification we could look at in tenses, as if sanctification of the spirit, sanctification of the life, and progressive sanctification fitting all of that together. We think about glorification and all of those kinds of things. But justification is when we are standing before God as if we had never sinned at all. There's a lot of terms. We think about the term expiation. We use that term every day, right? I mean, hey, when was the last time I even thought of that word? Expiation. That word simply means the removal of the guilt through the payment of the penalty. That's what expiation is. The guilt that we have as a sinner has been removed because the payment has been made. Propitiation is a lot like the same word, Propitiation emphasizes the appeasement or the averting of God's wrath upon us. But expiation is actually the payment of the penalty that has been, that Christ paid for us on the cross of Calvary. And we're justified through the payment of Christ. God's wrath has been appeased and we're reconciled to God. Wow! That all happened in the death of Jesus Christ. And of course, we have a Redeemer, do we not? And so the word redemption comes into play. And all of those fit in. But see, when you talk about justification, as the last Sunday night, or Sunday night before, we preached about the way of salvation. And somebody says, I don't understand how all of those terms are fitted in there. Well, salvation is a big thing. It is a large thing, and there's many, many parts of it that we use different words to explain different parts. And it gets to be almost more than our minds can handle, but it's all there in the blood of Jesus Christ. Rest assured that it every bit is there in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now notice this, and we got some points we want to get into. There's actually two points we want to cover tonight. Point number one is this, that justification of the Spirit. Point number two would be justification of the flesh. Those are two things that we want to cover. But before we get there, notice this, that justification, the word justification in the Bible, is not always talking about salvation. Huh? Say, wait a minute. I thought justification, and you just talked about expiation, propitiation. You talked about the Redeemer and reconciliation. Is that all? Not all that salvation? Well, it is. But every time you find the word justify or justification or whatever in the Bible, it is not necessarily talking about salvation. But it's always talking about being right. Okay? Justification for us means that we are judicially before God as never having broken the law. Okay? Now notice this. These two things. Number one, the Bible talks about God being justified. Does that mean He's saved? No. It just means that God is right. That's what it means. Look here. The book of Luke, chapter 7 and verse 29. Luke chapter 7 and verse 29. Here's this word. Justify, that simply means right. It means right. Just like we are justified, we are right in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. So God is right, and He's proclaimed to be right. Luke chapter 7 and verse 29. Luke chapter 7 and verse 29. And all the people that heard Him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Did those people save God? No. What did they do? When they heard the words, they knew that it was the truth, and they said, that's right. The people justified God. God, you're right. Well, He's right anyway, but it makes a difference if we say He's right. Okay? And so they justified God. Notice this also in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Here we find that Jesus Christ is right. He is right. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, did that passage, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, does that mean that God was saved in the Spirit when Jesus came on the cross, when Jesus came to the world? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just simply means that the mystery of godliness is very, very great. It means that God is manifest in the Spirit and He is made, He's manifest in the flesh, and that God is made right in the Spirit. We realize that as Jesus Christ lived, that He is right. That's what that means. Okay, He is right in the Spirit altogether. Notice this, point number two along this line. That sometimes men say that they're right. Sometimes we do that too, don't we? And sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. Okay? Look here in the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 29. Luke chapter 10 and verse 29. Here the lawyer stands up and he asks Jesus Christ, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And here Jesus Christ said, "Well, you keep the law." And here in verse 29, "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Now, was that fellow saved? No. It's obvious he was not. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. He would not have anything to do with anybody else. He didn't understand at all. He was willing to say to Jesus, "I am right." That's what he wanted Jesus to say, "I am right." But Jesus did not say that about him at all. So you see, every time the Bible uses the word justify, it's not talking about salvation. But every time the word justify is used, it's talking about this is right. Or the person's trying to be right. Okay? It means right. That's why the word justify simply means that we are right in the sight of God. And we are, without any variation whatsoever. Can you believe that right now tonight, that you and I, who are born sinners, are right in the sight of God without any variation at all? That when God looks upon us, He sees the righteousness of His Son in us. Whew. I'm glad He doesn't see what I see. Really. And I know God sees everything. I know God knows all about everything. But when He looks at us, we're justified in His sight. So, in the remainder of the message, we want to talk about two more points. Number one, justified in the Spirit, justified in the flesh. Okay? Simple message, just like that. Okay. So what does it mean to be justified in the Spirit? This is internal. Justification in the flesh is external. But we're talking about right now the internal parts of being right before God Almighty. You see, here's the way that it all starts out. It's said about when Jesus Christ came in Isaiah 53. It said that He shall see the travail of His soul. God shall look upon the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. And we're made right spiritually because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, not because of what we have done at all. God is absolutely the author of salvation. It is the act of God upon us internally that has made us right with God as if we had never sinned at all. You see, God removes from the believing sinner the guilt that we have. He removes the guilt. You know, you and I know that this is so. We have a mind that's not been saved. And yet we know that before God, we're as if we had never sinned. It's hard to see that, and we don't want to ever be bragging on ourselves. But we want to brag on Jesus who made us right. Because He is the one that gets all the glory and the honor and the praise for it all. But notice that this is an act of God. We needed a Redeemer. We had to have a Redeemer. Now notice, folks, somebody would say, well, the love of God is the greatest thing going, and because we have the love of God, we have it all. Now listen, if all we had was the love of God, we wouldn't have enough. I know that's near blasphemy, but I don't mean it that way, because I'm saying that we had to have an act of God to take that love of God. God acted on His love. I'm saying that God has an effectual love for us that is a greater love than any love we can ever know anything about. Because in the love of God, there is power to act on our behalf. There's you and I that have love. And we do have love. Parents have love for their children. Children have love for their parents. Grandparents have love. In-laws have love. And people just have love for one another. But it's an ineffectual love. to a large extent. There's some things that our love for each other is able to make us do. Because we love each other, we do not want to hurt each other's feelings. And so we sometimes can go out of the way not to hurt a loved one's feelings, whether it's friend or acquaintance or just fellow church member, right? And so we have that effectual love, and we can stop from hurting their feelings. We're not going to do it. But think of this. Love can only go so far. Our love can only go so far, but God's love, there is no limit, because God can take care of that sin. God can take care of that. Sometimes parents love their children. And sometimes children grow up and they get into meanness. They get into things they should not get into. And the parent is standing there and they're saying, stop that, stop that. You're going to get in trouble. Don't do that. But the child goes right on and gets in trouble. Does that mean the parent don't love the child? Oh, it doesn't mean that at all. But it means that the parent's love is ineffectual in stopping that child from doing what's wrong. That's what it means. But God's not that way. A parent can be in a hospital with a sick child. And you've seen this over and over and over and over again. The child is sick. The child has a bad high temperature. The child has a sore throat, or perhaps there's some kind of bad medical problem the child has. And the parents will pray for that child, and they will ask people to pray for them, and we'll all pray. And as much as the child loves that, pardon me, as much as the parent loves that child, they can do nothing to make that child well. But you know what God can do? He can walk in there and just put his hand on it, and it's okay. Well, I mean, that's effectual love. I'm talking about that God is able to act. God is able to act on our behalf to cleanse us from sin, where that nobody else can do it. Nobody. I mean, we're justified. You see, it's what God has done in us. It's not what we do. It's what God does in us. Salvation does not come because... And I don't want to use these terms wrong. I know they can be. I don't want to use terms wrong. Salvation does not come because I finally believe, and I know we must believe. I don't want to say we don't need to believe, but I'm telling you that when we see what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary, it's not what I've done, it's what He's done. Well, He saved my soul. He died for me. And His love is effectual toward me. And He redeems me from my sin, and I stand whole and right and pure before Him. I'm thankful to know that it's so. Justification is only one of the many, many, many blessings that we receive. You see, it's being justified by His blood. We are saved. And we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Understand here. And I read Romans 5 and verse 9 as a text. If you would, look at that again. Look at it again. Romans 5 and verse 9. Being justified by His blood. I think I've got that typed in here wrong. Romans 5 and verse 9. I think it says, much more than being now. I left out that word now. Being now justified by His blood. You see, I stand before God whole because of what He's done for me. But get this. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. When that day of wrath comes, I won't have to go through it. Because of what Jesus has already done for me. My, that's just, I'm right before Him. And I give Him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for every bit of that. It's nothing that I have done at all. Look back in the book of Romans chapter 3. The Bible tells us this, that it is by grace that we are saved through faith. That's in Ephesians 2 verse 8. But look here what it says in Romans 3. Beginning in verse 10, the Bible talks about what a filthy sinner we are. Well, it really doesn't start in verse 10. It goes back to chapter 1, and it talks about how that God has put into man the knowledge that there is a God, and yet they deny that. And they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Well, that's going on today. And it talks about how that God gives men over to evil and wickedness and lewdness, and they do it. And they love it. God gives them over some more, and they love it some more, and God gives them over again. And they love it some more. And finally, they come down to the place that they not only love their sin, they love everybody that sins. They want that. They desire that. That's how wicked men are. In chapter 2, he talked about that there's no excuse at all, that all have sinned. Whatever we do, we're still sinners. Verse chapter 3, he gets the beginning in verse 10. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. And he tells about the wickedness of men. All the way down through verse 18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. This is the way people are. But then he says in verse 19, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith of them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You get this. When guilt comes, then comes salvation. Then comes salvation. Because the Holy Spirit of God is what makes all that known. We stand before God as being right in His sight. Look in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So as much as you can do, you're not going to be spiritually redeemed by the works of the law. You can keep it. You can do all you want to do. You can live as good a life as you can possibly live, but you won't live one good enough. Wherefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be saved. But look in verse 21. But now, by the righteousness of God without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace. Get that what he's talking about. He tells in chapter 1, 2, and 3 about the wickedness of men. And there's literally no way that we can work our way into heaven. There's no way at all. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no person can ever be saved. And we know this, that it is by the righteousness of God without the law is what grants us salvation. For all have sinned, in verse 23, and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Our spiritual life has been given to us freely. And you and I that are saved tonight, we stand before God as if we have never sinned, and it came to us without a price. We didn't pay a dime for it. We didn't pay a penny. We didn't pay one work. We didn't pay an instant of right thinking. There was no deed that we could do. But it's rather by the blood of Jesus Christ, what He's done for us on the cross of Calvary. We're justified freely. How? By His grace. He gave to us what we did not deserve. God gave us grace, and we did not deserve one bit of His grace, His unmerited favor toward us, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We talked about that expiation while ago. We talked about propitiation while ago. Propitiation was the act of appeasing the vengeful God by expiation, the blood of Jesus Christ, put toward our penalty. And now we're reconciled to God, and we stand as if we had never sinned. Because of what Jesus has done through us. His blood was poured out for us. On our behalf, not because He had sinned. No, but because we had sinned. And He gave us His righteousness, and we stand before Him whole and clean. How? Look in verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He bought us from the slave market of sin. He paid the price. He was the one. Not only was Jesus the one that died on the cross, He was the one that took His blood to heaven. And He was the one that gave us His righteousness. He's everything. He's our Redeemer.
Amen.
Man, He is everything that there is. Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. You remember what that word propitiation means? It means that one that made the application. It means that is the one that appeased the wrath of God upon us. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. God's wrath was poured out upon Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ didn't have to go to hell to do all that. He did it all. When Jesus said it's finished, it's done.
Amen.
It is done. He didn't have to go to hell to pay for that. He paid for that on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
He was separated from His Father. God has set forth Him, Jesus Christ, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. And so what are we trusting in? We're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's whole. I mean, He's made us right. His blood has cleansed us. His blood, the blood of the only begotten Son of God, was poured out on the cross of Calvary. And it did what no lamb could ever do. It did what a million lambs could not do. It did what 10 billion lambs' blood could not do. They tell me that at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that Israel was offering over 1 million lambs a year in sacrifice. But Jesus Christ's blood, one time, took care of it all. Wow, what a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. What a Savior He is. To declare His righteousness. See, it's faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So God overlooked those sins until the blood was available. Because He knew it was coming. Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He's the one that appeased the wrath of God for us. How could anybody ever read this and come away believing that you got to be baptized to be saved? How could anybody ever read this and come away believing that you got to join the church and do good to be saved? I don't know either. I don't think they read it. I don't think they read it. They can't read it. Or if they do, their eyes are blinded. They've already got their mind made up by what they're going. They'll probably be saying that because you did this, then God does that, you know. But our salvation is based upon what God does for us, not what we've done to deserve anything. We don't deserve nothing. We deserve hell. But it's by the grace and the mercy of an everlasting loving God and a God that loves us effectually. His love that He has for us, He can do something about us. He can do something about our sin. And I'm glad to know that it's so. In verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. We brag about Jesus because it's His righteousness that He might be just, that is right, and God is right, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Well, who's your justifier? It's going to have to be Jesus or it's nobody. Or you're not justified. That's just it. That's the whole thing. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And what he's talking about in this part is what I'm talking about, is that first part of our point, justified internally. We're made right in our souls before an almighty and a holy God. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. It makes no difference. Everybody saved the same way. And I tell you this, it doesn't make any difference whether it was Adam or the last person that's ever going to be saved, they're saved the same way.
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is not two ways to be saved. The Old Testament folks are not saved by keeping the law, and we're saved by what? By grace? Somebody said, well, we're living under grace. Amen. You know what? They were too. They're saved. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, that's the way it is. Salvation is the same from Genesis to Revelation. And guess what? Whenever everybody that's saved gets to heaven, they're all going to sing the same song. There's not going to be two songs sung in heaven. You look at it in Revelation. They sang the song, Thou Art Worthy. Every one of them sang the same song. Not two songs. I save them by baptism, praise the Lord. No, and not going to be nobody up there singing that. They're going to be down in hell singing, I trusted the wrong thing. I trusted my baptism. Need to trust Jesus. Need to trust Jesus. Absolutely. See? So, he goes on. There's one God, verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. That it's right. The law's right. Nothing wrong with it. The problem is us. It's not the law. We're just not right at all. Chapter 4 talks about Abraham. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertained to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Genesis 15. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's when Abraham was saved. When he believed God, he's justified before God. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Well, think about that. Think about verse 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Do you have to work to keep yourself saved? You remember this little, if you get this little tract, you read that little tract, you know, Lord, the one you love is sick. There's an astounding statement in there, and I don't know if I can find it. I saw it on that other one. But this person says, Lord, the one you love is now seemingly quite useless because you're laid on a sick bed and you're sick and you can't even get up. How tragic if the Lord should cease to love us when we can no longer engage in some outward activity for Him. Isn't that the truth? Have you ever been so sick that you didn't think you could even pray? Have you ever tried to pray when you're sick? You think it got anywhere? Trick question, right? It did get somewhere, didn't it? But did you think it did? But God did hear. You just didn't think He did. See, it's not of work. It's of God. It's of God. We believe God. Now, to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. God, in His mercy, has loved us. And we're justified right before Him. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I've got to stop reading and get to point number 2, or I'm not going to get done. But this right here gets us down to the second point. It gets us down to the second point. What I'd like to do right here is skip through about 3 pages of stuff. And I want to show you a comparison. If you would, look in, and I read this to you here in Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. I think I didn't read this either. But listen to what it says here. What we want to do right here, we're on this last point about justified externally. Justified in the flesh. Okay? Now notice this. Compare these two scriptures. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Compare that with Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Which one's right? Look at that. Read that again. Now read that again. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. The doers of the law. Then Romans 3 verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So I'd ask you the question, which one's right? The whole point is that both of them are right. The Bible never contradicts itself. We do many, many times when we don't understand what we're looking at. But understand this. Justification is internally, that is an act of God that He wrought on us. He works in us. And we become right before God. But there's another justification. And this justification is one that's external. This is one that is in the flesh. This is one that you and I, by the faith, by living the faith of God, actually come to the place of doing. It's not a great big problem. This justification by works has nothing to do with internal salvation. It has everything to do with living what God wants us to live. It has everything to do with obedience on our part. Notice, in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22. I like the book of James because it's a book of action. It's a book of action on our part. James chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible said here, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And here's the issue. Somebody said, well, salvation is not based upon works, so what do works have to do with anything? And here it is. Philippians 2, verse 12, does it not say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? There's many passages in the Bible that tell us that once we're saved, we're going to begin to work for God. Somebody says, I'm saved, but I never go to church. Well, that's possible. Somebody said, I'm saved, but I go down to the beer halls a lot. Well, that's possible. I'm not digging no hole. Because it is possible. Let me ask you, are you happy? Are you happy doing that stuff? Shouldn't be. I tell you what, you won't be. God won't let you be. Because you're a new creature in Christ. You're not going to be happy down there in the pig pen. You're not going to be happy down there at all. You're going to be wanting to get out of that thing. Saved people sin. Saved people do sin. Sometimes saved people, I'm really going to step off here. Sometimes saved people sin habitually. Knowing when you do it, you're in trouble. That don't mean you're happy in it. If you're happy in it, you do have a problem. You do have a problem. I know sin has an appeal. Somebody says sin don't appeal to me. There are certain sins that appeal to somebody. You got one special appeals to you, whichever one it is. May not be the one that bothers me so much, but one that bothers you. You know, the sin that so easily beset us, let's lay that thing aside. But you're not happy in it. You're not contented in it. You're miserable when you do it. You don't even like yourself. That's the way that is. Be doers of the Word. Be doers of the Word. Notice in James 1:22, be ye doers of the Word, not law, Word. Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We deceive our own self if we do not serve the Lord. Look in James 2 and verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible said here in this place, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. The royal law. What's the difference in the royal law and the written law? None. Except one is motivated by God and the other is motivated by the flesh. When God motivates you, because you're already internally saved, you're going to want to do what God tells you to do. It becomes a royal thing. I mean, you're serving the King. You're serving the King and His law. But if you're working on it just so you'll get saved and go to heaven, it's not a royal law. And you're not working for the King. You're working for you, and it becomes miserable because it's hard to keep all that stuff. It is. So, he says, if you keep the royal, if you fulfill the royal law, he goes on. And beginning here in verse 14, he talks about this thing about justification and how that it works in the flesh. And we ought to be doing right in our flesh. Remember that at the very beginning we talked about how that justification does not always talk about salvation, but it always means to be right. We need to be justified in the flesh. We need to be right in the flesh. James 2, verse 14. The question here is asked, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? And then he asks the question, the question and answer session. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. That's what he's talking about. It does no good to say if you don't do. It does no good for a person to say, I believe, and then go down to the hog pit of sin and wallow around down there a while. Salvation won't lead you to do that. God won't lead you to do that. You might be down there, but it won't be what God wants you to do. Can a person that says, I'm saved and never serve? I'm talking about never serve. No, they're not saved. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Oh, they're a member of the church. It don't make any difference. They're not serving the Lord. And remember the difference here that I'm talking about. There's a difference between serving the church and serving the Lord. There's a difference between being faithful to family. There's a difference between being faithful to church attendance and being faithful to the Lord. You come to church and you serve the Lord. You're here to worship God and not just to endure another grueling message. See, but you're here to worship God. That's what it's all about. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. No, there's two ways of salvation. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. How can I see your faith? I can't see what's inside. All I see is what's on the outside. You see, justification by faith is that internal, but justification by works is on the outside. Internal justification is before God, but external is before men. Because I can't see what's inside you. All I can see is what you do. I can see the expression on your face. I can hear the sounds of your voice. But I really can't tell why you mean. Has anybody ever accused you of being mad when you were really scared? One time I was in a situation like that, and I heard later that I was so mad I couldn't hardly talk. I was so scared I could hardly talk. I wasn't mad at all. I would have left in a running. I would have run away, but not because I was mad, because I was afraid. Sometimes outward appearances can be deceptive. But he says, show me thy faith without works. That's what he's doing. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. Just because you believe one God doesn't mean too much. The devils also believe. They tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now look in verse 21. We want to go back to Romans chapter 4 here. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Oh, read again. Romans chapter 4. Read this again. Romans chapter 4. What the Bible said here concerning Abraham's internal justification. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertained to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Well, why then in Romans 4 verse 2, it says Abraham is justified by works, and then in James 2, it says no. No conflict. It's a different justification. That's what he's talking about in verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Romans 4, verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. When did that happen? Genesis 15. When did James 2, verse 21 happen? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Different time. As a matter of fact, what are we talking about? 20 years later? What we find here is that internal justification will lead to external justification. It'll lead to you showing you believe God, even in hard situations, hard circumstances. It'll come out. It's got to come out. It won't be kept down. It's going to bust out. You can't hide it. You can't bury it deep enough. It's going to come out. You see? Look here back again in verse 22. Now back in James chapter 2 and verse 22, by the way, James 2 and verse 22. He says, seest thou how faith wrought with its works, and by works was faith made perfect, that is, made complete. We understand that Abraham was a real believer in God because he acted like it. And people that are real believers will act like it. People that are superficial believers will not act like it. They will act like what they are. That will come out. It will come out what they are. Verse 23. And the Scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God. Look at that. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And there's no contradiction. Justification by faith, justification by works. One before God, one before man. Wow, isn't that great? I like that. Verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She was justified by works when she sent the messengers. But let me ask you this. When was it that Rahab believed by faith? I don't know exactly, but I'm going to just ask you this. While she was still a harlot, I know this, that right after she believed by faith, she was not a harlot anymore. She was not anymore. You know what? You go back and read that story in the book of Joshua, and when she took those spies in, the Bible there talks about how that she told them, she said, since we heard of you leaving the land of Egypt, our